Well, it is good to be with you today. Bev and I were just talking. It struck me in the middle of the meditation. If you're ever feeling a little bit down, just get on your computer and Google soundtrack of babies laughing. There's several of them out there, and if you can listen to that without laughing, you need to go to the doctor. I had one on a cassette tape one time that I used to listen to over and over, and that worked for me wonderfully to get picked up when you're feeling down. So find some ways to laugh during this day, especially. Now, as Bev mentioned, this month we're talking about play. And I mentioned to you last week I'm using a book called Deep Play by Diane Ackerman as a basis for the sermons and getting information from. And there are three ways that she defines deep play. One, which I spoke about last week, is a state of unself-conscious engagement with our surroundings. And I translated that into being fully present in the moment. And I'll have to tell you that when the time comes that we get back together again, be sure to ask Bev about the Jicama dance. When we talk about a state of unself-conscious engagement, her Jicama dance is that embodied. And it's a long story, but it was wonderful. I'll tell you more about it later. So one definition I spoke about last week was a state of unself-conscious engagement with our surroundings, being fully present in every moment. A second definition that I'll speak about today is an exalted zone of transcendence over time. That is deep play. And I'll be speaking about that today. And next week I'll speak about deep play as a state of optimal creative capacity. I'm looking forward to that one too. So this morning we're going to look at an exalted zone of transcendence over time. And I'll say more about what that really means in a minute. But one of the things that I'm sure you're aware of is that time is relative. It makes a difference in how you're looking at it as to what time really is. I found somewhere someone had written, if you want to know the value of 1 year, just ask a student who just failed a course. If you want to know the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. If you want to know the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet. If you want to know the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed the bus. If you want to know the value of 1 second, ask the person who just escaped death in a car accident. And if you want to know the value of 1/100th of a second, ask the athlete who won a silver medal in the Olympics. Now, as we think about time, In the English language, we have one word for time which covers everything. It's very much like the illustration of the Eskimos and snow. I've heard some exaggerated tales about that, but I know that there are multiple words that Eskimos use for snow to identify the exact texture and everything else. In the English language, we have one word, snow. Frozen water is snow, and that's it. So we're kind of limited there. In a similar fashion, in the Greek language, there are at least three specific words for love. In the English language, there is one. And so is it with this matter of time. The Greeks have two different words for time, and we're going to look at both of those this morning. The first one is called chronos. And you'll recognize that root word chronos. You probably, if you have a very, very expensive watch, it's not really a watch, it's a chronograph. It's a time teller. So this matter of chronos is tick-tock time. This is what happens on the clock. It's what happens when you look at your watch and you see the second hand clicking away the seconds there. It's an outer experience. It's an objective experience. And time can be very constrictive. You have 5 minutes to get to somewhere that's really going to take you 10 minutes to get there. So sometimes we feel imprisoned with the limitations and the restrictions that time can put on us. The tick-tock time, the chronos time puts on us. But deep play offers us an opportunity to move from chronos time to the other kind of Greek time, which is kairos. Now, kairos time means the right time, a critical time, an opportune moment. And kairos is very inner experienced. It's a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of being subjective. So chronos is that tick-tock time. Kairos is the right, critical, the opportune time. Now, as we look back in history, we find that in the late 1700s, the labor movement began, being concerned about workers' rights and the conditions under which they work on. That began in Kairos time. The labor movement didn't begin at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on March 26th. It began at the right time. The civil rights movement, which began in 1955, didn't happen at a specific time on a specific day. It happened at the right time, the Kairos time. The Me Too movement that began a while back didn't start in the afternoon on a particular day. It began at the right time, at the critical moment, at the opportune moment. The Black Lives Matter movement did not start at an appointed time in the afternoon or the morning. It started at the right time, when the time was ready, when it was supposed to happen. So we begin to understand how this affects our life, that we live most of the time unconsciously in Chronos time. We live by our watches. Many years ago, back in the olden days, as my son said to me, my son had the audacity one time to ask me, he said, "Dad, did they have color television when you were little back in the olden days?" I refrained from striking him when he did that. But in thinking back to those old days, I remember the first time I got a beeper. You remember beepers that we wore? And they had a clock on it. So when my daughter got married, we were going to be gone for 2 weeks. And she was getting married in the middle of that 2 weeks. So I took my watch off and I said, "I'm not putting my watch back on until I come back to work and go to work." So for 2 weeks, I had my watch off. It was wonderful. I had my beeper, so I knew what time it was if I really needed to know. And then I got back to work and I put my watch on. And I kept saying, "What is this thing on my arm? Just bugged the daylights out of me." So I really stopped wearing a watch until Bev gave me this one. And it is so nice. I wear it all the time. But we're so often bound by TikTok time. It determines when we go and where we go and how long we stay where we are. All kinds of things. When we go to bed, when we get up. It just rules us many times and we feel often imprisoned. And we are not as aware of Kairos time. We're not so aware of that right time, that critical time, the opportune moment that is around us all the time. So part of what I'm encouraging us to do is to begin to shift our thinking from being completely bound by Chronos time. You can't really do away with it because it's important. We base so much of our world on an orderly progression of things, and there's nothing inherently wrong with that until we become slaves to it. But what we can do is begin to shift our awareness, begin to shift our consciousness away from making Chronos time the priority in our life and beginning to include that awareness of Kairos time, the right moments, the critical moments, because those don't happen on schedule. They don't happen when somebody says they're going to. They happen when they happen. Now, all of us have had, to some degree, some kind of experience of this transcendence over time that we're saying is deep play. I have a couple of stories to illustrate that. When I was a teenager, it wasn't long after I'd gotten my driver's license, I was driving down the highway on one of the main highways between where I lived in town, and I noticed there was a horse out in the pasture on the right side of the road, and the horse started running and jumped over the fence, into the ditch, up on the shoulder of the road, and right in front of a pickup. And the pickup hit the horse, and the horse went up in the air and landed on the truck, then fell over on the side of the road. Now, the interesting thing about that is the moment I saw the horse running toward the fence, everything went into super slow motion. It was like watching a video in super slow motion, and this horse moved just very gradually, looked like it was floating over the fence, up the ditch, on the shoulder, in front of the truck, got hit, went up in the air, fell back down on the side of the road. Now, that probably lasted 15 seconds, but my perception of it was about 10 minutes. It was just amazing. I mean, I watched the whole thing happening, and as soon as the horse fell on the side of the road and I pulled over to go around the truck, then everything went back to regular time. Never had that happen to me before and never since. And being a naive teenager, I was a little bit spooked by it. It scared me a little bit. I've come to appreciate it since then. But that was one of the times when time went a little crazy for me, and I was out of TikTok time. I don't know where Chronos time was during that time, but it was gone because everything was moving super slowly. Another illustration on the other extreme of things is that, and this happened more than once to me, that I would leave church sometimes after a meeting at night and when I was tired. And I remember pulling out of the driveway of the church, and the next thing I knew, I was pulling up in the driveway at my house. And I lived about 15 minutes away from church, and I remembered absolutely nothing between pulling out of the driveway in the church and pulling up in my driveway at home. So something happened there. I mean, time went like this. Whereas with the horse getting hit, it went the other direction. This one got compressed completely. And that happened more than one time, and I got kind of used to it and thought it was okay. But that first time it happened, something that was very interesting, I just want to mention briefly, and this is a subject for a whole class at some point. It took me about 15 minutes to get home on a good in a good time with traffic and everything else. That first night when I left the church and suddenly was at home, only 5 minutes went by on my watch. I explain that one, I can't. Now, that's a little spooky, I know. But we see from that time is malleable, that time is flexible, and time is relative for us. And it's important for us to be able, through deep play, to be able to choose to experience this exalted zone of transcendence over time, to be deliberate about it, and make sure that things happen not necessarily always by the tick-tock clock time, but by the right time, the critical time, the opportune moment. They have done studies and have discovered, and it didn't matter what kind of work it was, all the way from executives to assembly line workers to manual laborers, that people who hold in mind a sense of kairos time rather than chronos time are more efficient at work. You would think that somebody who went into work and said, okay, I got 5 minutes to accomplish this project, and then I got 10 minutes to accomplish this one, I got to eat lunch at 12:01 and be back at 12:15, that kind of thing. You'd think that those people would be more productive, but they're not. As a whole, people who allow themselves to be immersed in kairos time, say, I'm going to do this and it's going to happen here, not worry about the other time, are more efficient and effective in their work, and they have fewer accidents. I found that fascinating. I thought, if this could happen in that context, why can't we live that way and bring this into our spiritual life and be much more aware of the kairos time rather than the chronos time, being much more aware of this transcendence that we have within us to use that over time as it moves along. Now, I would remind you about our affirmation for this month, which is, I play in the zone, free and unrestrained. What if we entered into all of life with that in mind? I play in the zone, free and unrestrained. I'm going to live in kairos time as much as I can. Now, I want to give you some homework here. Is to take that possibility of playing in the zone, of creating the experience of this zone of transcendence over time in two areas. One is a matter of our service. How we serve other people, and whether we do it as work or whether we do it as an expression of our spirituality. What if we are, as we talked about last week, being fully present in that experience, but also to realize that we have no limits, there are no constraints as far as time goes, and to slip into that zone of transcendence over time and do what is ours to do and let the time take care of itself. I fully believe that if we do that, go into service from a position of deep play, it'll make a difference for us and the people to whom we are ministering, the people who we are serving. Now, a second area that we can bring deep play into is prayer and meditation. Now, I had a conversation with somebody recently about this, and they were saying, what's the difference in prayer and meditation? And they were very concerned because they didn't have a definition for prayer and a definition for meditation and a way to do prayer and a way to do meditation. And where I've come to, I guess I'm getting to that age where you really begin to think for yourself and worry less and less about what anybody else says, which might be a dangerous thing, but it's a lot more fun that way. But where I've come to is that instead of saying, well, prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening to God, prayer is giving and meditation is receiving and trying to decide, well, I'm doing something right here, but which one am I doing? Instead of getting into all of that, to me, it's all the same. It's all the same. Prayer is communion with Spirit. Meditation is communion with Spirit. And what happens in that communion is not nearly so important as recognizing that it is entering into that sweet connection with Spirit that we have and whatever, whether we're speaking or listening, whether we're giving or receiving, we are present, enfolded in that pure presence of Spirit with that experience of prayer and meditation all at the same time. It comes to mind an illustration from one of the Star Trek movies, Deep Space Nine, not a movie, but a TV series called Deep Space Nine. There was a guy who was a shapeshifter. One of the characters was a shapeshifter, meaning he could transform himself into anything, any kind of shape or whatever else. His name was Odo. And periodically, Odo had to let himself go back to a liquid shape to rest. And he found at one point, he thought he was the only shapeshifter left, but at some point he found some family members, if you will, that were also shapeshifters. And he discovered that there was this place they called the Great Link. It was like a huge lake. And he would walk out into this lake and just melt into the oneness. And I thought, what an incredible little... There's a lot of metaphysics in science fiction, if you're open to it, if you really look for it there. But Odo would go into this Great Link and become one with all of them. They individually could come back out again and manifest in some form or another, but for a while they were absolutely one. And to me, this is what happens in prayer and meditation, is that we enter into that place where we truly are that oneness with Spirit, whatever that may mean. And interestingly enough, when you come into that place, it's not so important that you understand it anymore. It's not so important, how did I get here? What do I do now? What do I do to get out? What kind of music do I listen to? What kind of position in my body? All those things are unimportant at that point. It's just a matter of however you do it, entering into that communion, that connection with Spirit. And what if we did that went into that with a consciousness of deep play? What if we went into prayer and meditation, whatever it is that means to us, went into it, realizing that we're going to be outside of time. We're going to be beyond time. We're going to be in Kairos time, the right time. And one of the things I do now is that when I meditate, and of course you got with your phone, you've got a little computer with you all the time. And what I usually do is find the music I want to listen to and then set a timer that will go off at a particular time when I need to get up and go about my business. But once I enter meditation, I completely forget about time. I forget about how many minutes I'm going to be here and how many minutes have elapsed, how many minutes I've got left or anything else. I'm going into meditation and at some point I'll come out, whatever that time is. And that works for me very well. And so that way, when I do that, I can let go of Chronos time. I can forget about it, not worry about it, and enter deliberately into that Kairos time, that right time, that critical time, that opportune moment that time represents in that context, and I can enter into it with this consciousness of play, the consciousness of being fully present right now and being aware of this exalted zone of transcendence over time, as the author says. So I want to give you that as homework. This week, be very deliberate about when you serve, go into service from a place of deep play. Go into service with an idea of Kairos time, the right time, not the TikTok time, but the right time. And also when you go into prayer and meditation, whatever that is for you, however that shakes out for you, go into that experience from deep play and go into that experience from Kairos time and not Chronos time and watch to see what happens. Declare a time-free zone for yourself to operate in. Your experience may be like I had both of them, but it may be that time expands for you in some way, and suddenly you can find, if you don't pay attention to time, you can do twice as much as you do when you're constricted by time. Or it might be that an extended period of time collapses back in on what feels like a very short time. It'll be interesting to see how that works out for you. So your homework is to take deep play into service and into prayer and meditation. Let go of Chronos time, embrace Kairos time, and watch to see what happens. And I want to close with a quote from Charles Fillmore. Time is the measure that we give to passing events. The only power in time is what we impart to it. When we get into the understanding of the absolute, we take our freedom from all bondage of time and declare that time shall no more enter into the substance of our mind, our body, or affairs. So I say to you once again, I play in the zone, free and unrestrained. God bless you, my friends.